I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pittsburgh Steeler fans, welcome back to another episode of Let's Ride. I'm your host, Jeff Hartman, senior editor at BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, with you for this Friday episode. This is a big one, not just because the Steelers play on Sunday when they host the Las Vegas Raiders at Heinz Field, their home opener, first time with fans since 2019. Get ready to hear that about 2,000 more times between now and kickoff. And I believe Ian Eagle is doing the game on Sunday for CBS. Therefore, we will hear this literally every 5 seconds, like we did last Sunday when they went to Buffalo, and we were constantly reminded that, yes, there were no fans, no sellouts in 2020, as if we needed that reminder. Nonetheless, as always, this show is brought to you by BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Make sure that's your one-stop shop for all things Pittsburgh Steelers. On top of that, wherever you get your podcasts, if you're listening to this on the Megaphone app, or not the Megaphone app, but on the Megaphone player, in an article on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, go to wherever you find podcasts. It can be iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Anchor, Pandora, Spotify. It does not matter. Follow, subscribe, do whatever you have to do so that you don't miss a thing. That's not just my Let's Ride every Monday, Wednesday, Friday morning. That's the live mic with Michael Beck on Tuesday. That is the Stat Geek with Dave Schofield. Had a great show yesterday on Thursday. And also our all-new, brand-new noon lineup that started at the beginning of this season. We're talking about shows like Matty Peverell's War Room, On the Cutting Room Floor with Jeffrey Benedict. We're talking about What Ian's Talking About on Friday, which is a hysterical show, by the way. Make sure you give that one a try. Really, really funny. The Steelers Power Half Hour, and of course, the Fantasy Football Fix with Jeremy Betts. Check them all out. They're only on our audio podcast platform. We also do shows every evening, Monday through Saturday, and then Sundays typically is our post-game show that are live on YouTube as well as simulcast on Facebook Live. You go to YouTube, search BTSC Steelers Radio, subscribe to our channel. We appreciate it. Or if you're on Facebook, follow us on Facebook. Just search Behind the Steel Curtain. We have over 100,000 followers on Facebook. Make sure you check us out. You can watch the shows live. If not, they will be on our audio platform as well. All right, but you know what? Enough about the podcast stuff. Enough about the website. Everyone wants to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers. the Raiders, Steelers, Raiders. That's such a legendary matchup. It just brings back so many memories, and not all of them are good. For me, there's memories of Bruce Gradkowski at Heinz Field pulling off the upset. It's the Terrell Pryor 95-yard run on first down in Oakland. Just some horrible memories. Who can forget the last time these two teams played in Oakland, when that was the Ben Roethlisberger 1950 x-ray machine where they had to take him seemingly in a helicopter and fly him to another facility? But that's neither here nor there. This is a whole new team, a whole new dynamic, both for the Raiders and the Steelers. We're not talking about the 70s. We're not talking about the Immaculate Reception. We're not talking about icing down Three River Stadium turf to make the field slick. We're not talking about any of that. We're talking about 2021, Derek Carr, Ben Roethlisberger, Darren Waller, the Pittsburgh Steelers' offensive weapons, the defense, whether it's Yannick Ngakoue for the Raiders and Max Crosby with T.J. Watt and Melvin Ingram. This is a good matchup. I said this on Wednesday. If you listen to my podcast, I talked about how this game, Steelers-Raiders, is not going to be a game that fans can just say, oh, you know, this is a W. Now, I know that my buddy and the deputy editor at Behind the Steel Curtain, Michael Beck, he has been on this, the Steelers are going to win big bandwagon since Sunday when the Steelers beat the Buffalo Bills on the road 23-16. If Michael is right, I would be ecstatic. I would be absolutely 100% out of my mind happy. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think the Steelers are going to struggle again on offense, at least in the early goings. Maybe they're a little amped up with excitement. Maybe it's a situation where you're looking at the defense has to settle in. It doesn't matter. The question that everyone wants to know, and this is going to be my pregame podcast every single week, is what do the Steelers have to do to win? Like, what do they got to do to pull out the W? And that's what we're going to talk about today. In the first half, we're going to talk about offense, defense, three keys to victory for both sides of the field. And then we're going to do, in the second half, that's right, Michael Beck will be joining me as he does every Friday, and we'll finish it up with a heart-to-heart. So don't go anywhere, because you're not going to want to miss any of this. So let's start on offense, as we always do. The keys to victory for the offense, it starts with protecting Ben Roethlisberger. The Steelers have to protect Ben Roethlisberger, and when I say that, I'm not just alluding to them not giving up sacks. Pressures and quarterback hits for a quarterback that's 39 years old going into season 18 are almost just as important as the actual sack itself. They need to keep people away from Ben Roethlisberger to give him the opportunities, to give him the time to actually drop back, set his feet, read the field, and deliver a good pass. There were times in Buffalo that did not happen. So that's number one for offense. Protect Big Ben. Number two, pass to open the run. And this may sound counterintuitive. There's a lot of people that say you need a run to open up the pass. The Steelers did that in week one, where they ran seemingly against a brick wall when the Buffalo Bills at times are putting 9, even 10 defenders in the box, and the Steelers continued to run the football with very little success, 54 total yards in the first half. It wasn't until the second half when the Buffalo Bills, and don't think that every defense the Steelers are going to play is not going to mimic the same defensive philosophy, and that is we're going to load the box, we're going to stop these little short passes, and we're going to dare you to beat us down the field. The Steelers are going to have to throw deep early. They're going to have to connect on a couple deep passes to soften up the defense, and then I think that's when the Steelers can run, when they have a little bit of a lighter box defensively in front of them. So they might have to pass to open the run, and that may sound weird, but that's where the Steelers are right now offensively, especially with a young offensive line. The last key on offense is you have to win in key situations. I said this last Friday leading up to the Buffalo game. I'll say it again, and I'm going to say it again based on the fact that the Pittsburgh Steelers did not do it last week. You need to win in situations, we're talking third downs and red zone. The Steelers, I believe, were 4-for-12 on third down last week, 1-for-3 in the red zone. That's just not good enough, and it's not just about the upcoming opponent in the Raiders. This is about just being a really good football team. If you want to be a good football team, you win in those key situations, and that's not something the Steelers did in week one. So maybe they can get that done in week two. So let's go over the offensive keys one more time before we go over to the defense. Offense at number one, protect Ben Roethlisberger. Number two, pass to open up the running game. And then three, win in those key situations. So let's go to the defensive side of the ball now. You can't put it any other way. You got to limit Waller. Darren Waller, the dynamic tight end who just seems to be on one of these crazy streaks right now with playing out of his mind. Waller's a player that you have to make sure that you always have him accounted for, and the Steelers are going to have to be creative on how to slow him down, just like Stephon Diggs last week. You're never going to completely take them out of the game. When you have a player that is that talented, you just hope to slow them down. That's where Waller is at this stage, and the Steelers, with Keith Butler, Terrell Austin, Mike Tomlin, they are going to have to put together a really good plan to limit Waller's impact on the outcome of this game. This is a player who single-handedly can take over the game, and it's up to the Steelers' defense. I think they can do it. I really do think they can do it. I'm pretty sure that they're going to have to try to think of something unique that hasn't been done yet, but they have the players to limit Waller's impact on this game, but that's key number one. Let's go to number two. They have to get after Derek Carr with four players. The Steelers only blitzed twice in Buffalo, and they harassed Josh Allen. They need to duplicate that in week two. There's going to be games where the Steelers will be more blitz heavy, maybe against inexperienced quarterbacks that haven't seen some of these exotic blitzes or blitzes that the Steelers like to use that other teams don't do very often. Carr's been around a while. He's seen a lot of it. The Steelers are going to have to get after Carr with four, not only just to give them help in the back end, but ultimately, if they can win with four against an offensive line, like, for instance, when you look at T.J. Watt and Leatherwood, if that matchup continues, you like T.J. Watt's chances. I don't feel like T.J. Watt, Melvin Ingram, or Alex Highsmith would need extra help to win that matchup. So get after a Carr with four, and that's the green light for the defense. That's the green light. That means if we only have to assign four players to rush the passer, or five at the most, that gives us all that help in the deep half. They've got it under cover. Last one. Make them pay. Make them pay. I feel like Derek Carr is a quarterback who will take unnecessary risks, especially if they're struggling early. The Steelers are not necessarily known that they did lead last season. They led the NFL in interceptions. They have yet to get one this year. It's only been one game. They did have a turnover. That was a strip sack of Josh Allen, T.J. Watt dislodging the ball, Cam Hayward recovering it. They need to make Derek Carr pay for the mistakes or the risks that he takes. If they can get that pressure with the front four, like I mentioned earlier, then absolutely they should be able to take the ball away. I think this is a game, especially if Josh Jacobs is limited or doesn't play, you limit their running game, you force them to throw to get back into it. If they can get a lead, that's when the Steelers' defense can really pin their ears back and can get after Derek Carr. All right, so there you go. Defensive keys: limit Waller's impact on the game, get after Carr without blitzing, and make them pay with turnovers. Win the turnover battle, and that's how you win the game. So those are my keys on offense and defense, how the Steelers need, what they need to do to beat the Raiders and to move their record to 2-0 on the 2021 regular season. You might be looking at your clock saying, wow, he's going to a break already. Mr. Michael Beck and I have a lot to talk about. So we're going to get into that right after this break, and then stay tuned because after that, I'll be back with a heart-to-heart. Don't go anywhere. Be right back.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All in one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
I am all alone, always playing my All right, Pittsburgh Steelers fans, welcome back to the second segment of Let's Ride. Jeff Hartman here with, as always, every Friday in the second segment, Michael Beck joins us. Now, Michael, before we talk about anything else, I don't know if you listened to my podcast on Wednesday where I answered questions from the mailbag, but we had someone submit a question that was about your name. Now, I've constantly added to your name to make it sound even more ridiculous every single time. I think it's Coach Mr. Captain Blue Checkmark. And he said, what if you just called him Blue Check Beck? I say that's I'd have to throw Coach there. Coach Blue Check Beck. Which one do you like better? I mean, that's got a pretty good ring to it, Blue Check Beck. What are your thoughts, Michael?
You know what? I'm always down for a good rhyme. So I think I like that. It's less of a mouthful. All the titles are definitely a fun one, I'd say. But maybe we should go with I'm already blanking on Coach
Blue Check Beck. I blanked on it like 5 minutes after he asked the question. Anyways, okay, so maybe we'll do that. But we're here with Michael Beck. Coach, I got to ask, how did last week go? Last time we talked, you were coming off of a pretty bad loss. You were gearing up, hoping to see some improvement in the squad. How did you do last week?
Right. So we were, again, unsuccessful, but saw a little bit of fight from the guys. Thankfully, we got our home opener this year in a brand new stadium up here at Simon Fraser. So we're very excited to play some action in front of some fans up here for the first time in a very long time, because, of course, D2 didn't play last year. So pretty excited about getting to play in front of some people, in front of some friends and family, and getting to do it at home. It's a pretty exciting time.
Got to get the first W at home. Is it a winnable game? Is it a matchup you're looking forward to?
Oh, yeah, definitely looking forward to it. Anytime, this is our first conference game of the year too, and you know what it's like. Anytime you're playing, the Steelers are playing it. Say the Bengals last year when they lost. Anything can happen when you're playing those divisional games. So we're excited for the challenge. We got Central Washington coming up here, so it should be a good matchup.
You're sounding more and more like Mike Tomlin every week. Keep it up. I like it. All right, let's get to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They obviously were victorious in week one. Not many people thought they were going to win. Michael, what was the one aspect of this game that after the Steelers win, which we're all happy about, no one wants to see the Steelers lose, but I think there are some fans that do for really sadistic reasons. But nonetheless, when you saw and when you're like, man, I never saw that happening, and that's what might have led to a win. What was that thing for you in week one?
Oh, you know what? Playing excellent defense from whistle to whistle. The entirety of the game, like you rarely see it in today's NFL, let alone just any specific team. But the way the rules are set up, it just so everything falls so nicely for the offense to be able to move the ball. But the Steelers defense was dominant for 60 straight minutes. So that's the reason why they won this game. They were able to hold that high-powered Bills offense in check at home in front of all those crazy Bills fans. And they were able to do that for 60 minutes. Honestly, that's the reason why they're successful. If they could figure out a way to do that each and every game, I don't anticipate this team losing a lot of football games.
Yeah, no doubt. For me, it was the special teams touchdown. Teams touchdowns, it's like, you can never bank on them. If they happen, sometimes they don't even happen an entire season, let alone the week one game on the road in that fashion. It was such a quick turnaround after the TJ Watts. I think it was a Watt sack, but they sacked Josh Allen. Next thing you know, they're putting 7 more points on the board. But let's go ahead and let's look ahead now to the week two matchup with the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders come to town coming off of a big overtime win over the Baltimore Ravens on Monday Night Football. They're banged up. But Michael, I want to ask you a simple question. Think back to week one. Give me a player on offense and a player on defense who might not have played up to the standard. If we're using Mike Tomlin's "the standard is the standard" slogan, motto, whatever you want to call it. Give me a player on offense and defense that needs to play better in week two for the Steelers to start the year off 2-0.
Well, I think on offense, it is not surprising to say the least that Chukwuma Okorafor needs to have a great game. We saw what Max Crosby did to former Pittsburgh Steeler Al Villanueva, just absolutely ate his lunch all game long. So Chukes needs a big game. He needs to be excellent in pass pro. He needs to be able to drive guys off the ball in the run game. He needs to step up at that right tackle spot that he keeps somehow finding himself falling into. But he definitely needs to play better. Defensively, there really isn't too many people to point the finger at. I know Jeffrey Benedict didn't love Joe Schobert's game, but there's a number of people out there that say the opposite. It's tough to point to someone that say they need to play better on that defensive side of the football because of how well they did play. But I'd point at Terrell Edmonds and say this guy needs a big week this week because he's going to be getting a healthy dose of Darren Waller, who's probably on the greatest stretch of games that a tight end has ever played in the history of the NFL, about, what, 8 straight games going over 100 yards and multiple touchdowns. So slowing that big fella down is going to be key. So I'm pointing the finger at Terrell Edmonds for a guy that needs a big, big game.
Absolutely. And I saw that in your article that ran on Thursday for on behindthesteelcurtain.com. Some good stuff. I think it was Field Yates tweeted that out of ESPN. Incredible work by Waller. Let's talk about him quickly before we get to our game picks. If you're a football guy and you're a collegiate coach, whether you coach the offensive line or not, you clearly know about the game of football. If you were a defensive coach of any magnitude, how are you schematically trying to take Waller? Not, let me rephrase. I put Waller in with the digs, just like you did with Antonio Brown in his prime. You can't stop him. You just want to slow him down. How are you doing it if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers defensive coordinator?
So thankfully the Raiders have a bunch of injuries that we briefly touched on. So it kind of lets the Steelers play a little bit easier in their kind of perspective. Depending on what side he lines up on, I would like to have a Devin Bush or Joe Schobert kind of shadow him, just depending on what side he lines up on, depending on the linebacker that follows him around. But then I'd also have a safety over the top, probably Terrell Edmonds in this case, to let Minkah Fitzpatrick, Roman, who do his thing. Just being able to have to bracket coverage him is going to be key. Tackling him before he can get rumbling. Basically, the key to this one here is we know Derek Carr loves throwing the ball at him. He got 19 targets in week one, which I believe leads the entire NFL for targets. So he's going to get a healthy dose of the ball his way regardless. And he has a 6'7 frame, so he's going to catch the ball. We don't have anyone on defense that can cover someone who's 6'7" and run with him down the field. So he's going to catch the ball. The trick is getting him down the second that ball touches his hands, limiting him to less than 10 yards per target. That's got to be the game plan. Just don't let him beat you over the top, go on long runs. Make sure to just tackle him when he gets the ball in his hands. And the most you can knock it out of his hands, the better. But just with his frame and how talented he is, you know he's going to get his. So getting him to the ground is the biggest key.
19 targets. I can't stress how crazy that number is. And you know, in week one, the Steelers targeted Deontay Johnson 10 times, and some fans were thinking, wow, that's incredible. 19 times. That's unbelievable. Let's talk about the Steelers receiving options quickly. Which receiver, and let's pass catchers. Let me throw tight ends into the mix. If you were to predict one pass catcher for the Steelers that's going to show out against the Raiders, who you got?
This has got to be the week where one of the tight ends kind of has to explode. Just the way the Raiders defense is kind of set up, they have some pretty decent cornerback play, but the middle of their defense, maybe this is the coming out party for Pat Freiermuth. I think Ben only targeted him one time against the Bills. I think this is a game where you should get a healthy dose of the tight ends over the middle. We know Freiermuth got the greater percentage of snaps at that tight end spot. So I would point to the big rookie out of Penn State having a big game, but that really comes down to Ben actually throwing him the ball. And it's a conversation Jeffrey Benedict and I had at Know Your Enemy. The Steelers have kind of might have a problem with having too many targets because it seems like Ben has to distribute the ball amongst, what, 6 people, 7 people. He's got to figure out his guys that are going to get the bulk of the targets. So I think Pat Freiermuth really deserves kind of a good look and a healthy dose of himself against the Las Vegas Raiders.
Absolutely. And I'm going to go with Chase Claypool. I think that Claypool proved, I mean, going up over Tre'Davious White, that really nice catch on the sideline against the Bills really opened things up. I think they're going to do that early and often, look for Chase Claypool to have a game. Now let's get to our game picks. I have to recap last week in case you don't know this. How many do we have here? 8 staff members of Behind the Steel Curtain, everyone from the blokes down under to Jeffrey Benedict, myself, Brian Davis, Dave Schofield, Shannon White, and Blue Check Beck. We all put on our weekly picks, and you can check those out at behindthesteelcurtain.com. That article runs every Friday afternoon, Eastern time. And week one happened. Here's what it looked like in the first week. Mark Davison was tops. He was he and Matty Peverell, I think they probably shared passwords or something. 18-13-1. They led our Behind the Steel Curtain staff with their picks. And that is not just the game picks, but also over under. I was third at 15-16-1 and blue check back all the way, scraping the bottom of the barrel, 9-22-1. So yowza, that's not very good. Not only for Michael, but in general, like it's just really, really bad stuff.
Knocking so, rust off.
Yeah, you can call it whatever you want. Like that's, but we're still looking at picks. We're looking at the upcoming week. We're obviously going to be looking at the weekend slate of games. It's going to be really, really interesting to see how this week plays out. You ready to do this again?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right. So let's start off Sunday at 1 o'clock. The New Orleans Saints, who are coming off of the unbelievably dominant performance against the Green Bay Packers in week one. They're playing the Carolina Panthers, NFC South action. Both teams are 1-0. The Saints are giving 3.5 on the road in Carolina. Who you like in this game?
So I got the Saints in this one. Jameis Winston, I think, opened some eyes after getting his eyes fixed in week one. What, 4 or 5 touchdown passes out of Winston?
I think 5, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't need to do that on a whole lot of targets either. The Saints looked really good. I still think the Panthers have a ton of holes, so I like the Saints giving those points.
I agree with you. I like the Saints giving 3.5. They look to be a team to beat in that NFC South. Carolina's improved with Sam Darnold, but I don't think they're there just yet. Let's go to an AFC North game, or at least a team playing. The Cincinnati Bengals, shockingly 1-0 after their overtime win against the Minnesota Vikings in week one, play the Chicago Bears. The Cincinnati Bengals on the road in the Windy City are getting 2.5 points here. The Bears lose on Sunday Night Football to the LA Rams. Michael, how do you see this one playing out?
Oh, this one is probably the tougher call of the week. Both teams obviously have their warts. I kind of like the Bears at home, though. They only have to give up 2.5 points playing at home. I still need to see more out of the Bengals. It's tough to call it the Bears quarterback situation the way it is, but I think Andy Dalton gives them enough. And if Justin Fields sees the field more, I think that's just more creativity and explosiveness for the Chicago Bears. So I like them giving those 2 points.
Andy Dalton's still the quarterback. I'm taking the other team. The Cincinnati Bengals getting 2.5. I'll take them to go to 2-0. It'll shock a lot of people, but I think that they are a team that's going to be competitive. I said that last week. I'll say it again. The Bengals are not going to be a pushover. If you're thinking that, we're watching different games. Let's go to another AFC North team. The Cleveland Browns have their home opener against the Houston Texans. Cleveland is giving a whopping 12.5 points here. They looked great against Kansas City, even though they weren't able to pull out the win. 9-point blown lead by the Cleveland Browns in week one. Houston, although they did, I think they did win their first game.
They did.
Yeah. Jackson. With Tyrod Taylor. Can they keep it close? How do you see this one playing out? 12.5 points is a lot of points.
Yeah, that is that's going to be one of the biggest spreads you see all year long. But the Texans pulling out that fluky win, I honestly feel like they got that one out of their system. Now they can slide in the spot that they're supposed to be in, kind of what the Jaguars did last year, winning their first game before losing out the rest of the year. The Texans are not a good team. I think that also goes to show what the Jaguars are, also not a very good team. But for this matchup, I know 12.5 points sounds ridiculous, but I got a feeling the Browns play with a little bit of juice, play in front of their dog pound. I cringe even saying that. But I think the Browns just, they do enough. They get the win, and the Texans run back to Houston with their tail between their legs. I like the Browns even giving those 12.5 points.
I agree. I think the Browns blow the Houston Texans doors off. I don't think it's close. It's probably at least a 2-score game, if not more. And so I think Cleveland gets their first win of the season, and it's in a big fashion. Let's keep it 1 o'clock on Sunday. The LA Rams go to the Indianapolis Colts. The Rams are 1-0. The Colts lost their first game of the season, I believe. The LA Rams are giving 3.5 points. What do you think about this game in Indy?
What I say is only 3.5 points. The Los Angeles Rams, they're kind of the team I'm crushing on this season. They put together a really nice roster. Stafford and that McVay offense just looked absolutely dominant against the Chicago Bears. I really like what the Rams are doing. Honestly, the 3.5 points I feel like could be a whole heck of a lot more. I think that the Rams win this game handily.
Well, technically a 6.5 point spread when you think about the 3 point at home spread typically given to the home team. But still, I agree with you. I like the Rams giving 3.5 points in this game. Sticking at one, Denver Broncos go to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Broncos look pretty good against the New York Giants in week one. Jacksonville, well, they're Jacksonville. Denver's giving 6 points on the road. Who do you like in this one, Teddy Bridgewater or the rookie who's still getting Mr. Lawrence down in Jacksonville?
You know what? This Broncos team has a great defense. They put together a solid defensive front. I think Teddy just gives them enough on offense, but the Jaguars are putrid. I feel like Urban Meyer is going to end up running to Southern California for that USC job anyway. I think the Jaguar season is just going to completely unravel. Poor Trevor Lawrence, who's never lost football games apparently before making it to the NFL, he's going to do a whole heck of a lot of that this year. I like the Broncos giving up those 6 points. I also think this game hits the under because I think only one team scoring points in this game. I do not like the Jags where they're at and where they're going at all.
Denver Broncos, I like them as well, giving 6. I think that they're going to make enough plays to at least cover that 6 point spread. I like the Broncos as well. 1 o'clock is still 1 o'clock slate. Buffalo Bills, this is going to be a great game. No one's really talking about it. The Buffalo Bills go down to Miami. Josh Allen's record against Miami and his stat lines against Miami are very good. Buffalo on the road's giving 3.5 points. Does Tua stand a chance with Miami to pull off the upset, Michael?
Oh, man, the Bills are pretty much already in desperation mode. Teams that start the year 0-2, I believe, only make the playoffs about 11% of the time.
So I have no confidence right now in Miami being able to beat a very hungry Buffalo Bills team that is in desperate need of a win after that upset loss, as one may say, to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I like Buffalo in this one, even though they're giving up 3.5 points. I think they go down there and kind of reassert their dominance in the AFC East.
I think the Buffalo Bills bounce back after the loss to the Steelers in week one. They're going to come back in a big way. I think Miami is a good team. They're improving. I don't like Tua that much anymore. I feel like he has regressed as a quarterback, and that's a bad thing. I'll take the Bills, Josh Allen on the road down in Miami. The New England Patriots, the New York Jets, Patriots on the road, Belichick, battle of the rookie quarterbacks, whatever you want to call it. The Patriots are giving 5.5 here, Michael. Who wins the game?
Oh, man, this one is a coin flip. I still don't like the Jets roster very much. The Patriots put together something respectable. To me, this one was more of a pick 'em. I went with New England. Hopefully that doesn't continue my losing streak. So for everyone keeping track at home, that probably tells you to go with the Jets. But I'm taking New England -5.5.
I think New England's roster from top to bottom is just better. If Mac Jones can protect the football, I think they win this game at least by a touchdown. So I'm going to take the Patriots on the road, giving 5.5 to cover. The San Francisco 49ers go across country to the Philadelphia Eagles. Shockingly, the Philadelphia Eagles are getting 3 points. The 49ers giving 3 on the road. Philly coming off of a big win against Atlanta in week one. San Francisco holding on against the Detroit Lions. This is a tough game to pick on the NFC side of the brackets. What do you think, Michael?
I think the Eagles played above their pay grade against a bad Atlanta Falcons team. And I think the 49ers just took their foot off the gas pedal late in that game against the Detroit Lions. So honestly, I still like the Niners -3.5. I think the Niners have one of those rosters that is a sneaky pick to still make it to a Super Bowl this year. I think the Eagles are still one of those teams that are kind of going to be battling it out for top 10 draft pick rankings come the end of the year. So I'm going to go with the Niners, even though they're giving 3.5 points on the road.
Going across country, 1 o'clock game. I like the Eagles at home getting 3 points. Give me that home underdog. I like it. I'll take Philly getting 3 to win this game. Obviously, we'll talk about the Steelers here in a second. But nonetheless, the Minnesota Vikings, now we go to 4:05. Minnesota Vikings travel to the Arizona Cardinals. I did not see the Arizona Cardinals doing what they did to the Tennessee Titans in week one. Yet here we are. Kyler Murray contributed 5 touchdowns. Chandler Jones was unstoppable. And meanwhile, the Minnesota Vikings lost in overtime to Joe Burrow and the Bengals. The Cardinals are giving 4.5 points to the Minnesota Vikings at home. That's a small number for me. What do you think about this game, Michael?
Yeah, honestly, we know how much pretty much the two guys to talk about most this offseason, J.J. Watt potentially making that trio with the Watt brothers in Pittsburgh, and then Zaven Collins, my draft crush that I talked about ad nauseum, both end up on the Cardinals. So I'm very high on this team because they got the guys I want in the black and gold. But they are definitely a team to look out for. Their defense looks really sharp. Their offense is coming together. I think they're dangerous, and I think they're going to, this is going to be another game where they should really beat the barn doors off the Minnesota Vikings. I like the Arizona Cardinals giving those 4.5 points.
I agree with you. Arizona giving 4.5 seems really, really low. I think that this could be a shootout, though. I think it could be a high scoring affair, but I'll take the Cardinals giving 4.5. Sticking at 405, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Super Bowl defending champions, they host the Atlanta Falcons. Tampa Bay is giving same spread as the Cleveland Browns, 12.5 points. Atlanta looked absolutely abysmal against Philadelphia week one. Michael, do the Buccaneers not just win, but do they cover that 12.5?
You know what? I'm going to say they will. This is a Tom Brady-led team. You look back at his time in New England and even that 1 year in Tampa Bay so far, they cover those spreads. They're not a team, when Tom Brady's at the helm, to go in and have that trap loss that like the Steelers have kind of fallen victim to over the years. Brady, they tend to take care of business. They tend to take care of those spreads. Earlier I said, like, you rarely get those 12.5 point spreads in the NFL. Two of them this week, and honestly, I think both of them are covered. The Falcons looked terrible against a team I don't think is very good already. So I think the Bucs take care of business here with giving 12.5 points.
If it were 2-touchdown spread, I'd shade towards Atlanta, but it's not. It's 12.5. I'll take the Buccaneers at home to hold serve, even covering that spread. At 425, the Dallas Cowboys go to LA to play the Chargers. The LA Chargers are giving 3.5 points, a very curious line, in my opinion. The Chargers are an improving team. The Cowboys surprised a lot of people in that Thursday night opener against Tampa Bay. This is a tough pick, Michael. How do you see this one shaking out?
So the Chargers are another one of those teams. Whatever it is about the LA teams, I'm a big fan of what they're kind of putting on paper here. I think the Chargers, honestly, all along are going to be a team that pushes the Chiefs at the top of the AFC West. Definitely not going to supplant them at the top of those power ranking charts. But I think the Chargers are a sneaky, very good team. They put together a good defense. They have solid talent on offense. I like them with those 3.5 points over the Dallas Cowboys, who I think shockingly fall at 0-2, and all that Cowboys Nation kind of decrees how they feel year in and year out about starting off slow. It just seems to be the Cowboys' way in recent years. So I like the Chargers coming out of this game, the victors, giving those 3.5 points.
This is a game that hook, that half point really got me. I was wondering, you know, I think this is going to be a really close football game. It might come down to a field goal, but for some reason, I think the Chargers are going to find a way to at least win by 4. I've got the Chargers holding serve at home. They don't play in a college stadium anymore where no one comes. Maybe they can get some juice with, there's going to be a lot of Cowboys fans there, but I think the Chargers and Justin Herbert find a way to win the game. Still at 425, the Tennessee Titans, who still have their tail in between their legs after the week one whooping by the Cardinals, they go to the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle Seahawks won their first game of the season, and the Seattle Seahawks are giving 5.5 points here to the visiting Tennessee Titans. Michael, this is a weird game because you can't expect Tennessee to be that bad, but how good is Seattle? We'll see. What do you think about this one?
Honestly, despite being a Pacific Northwest guy, I think the Seahawks are one of the more overrated teams in the league this year. They got Russ. They got their win, but I don't love their roster. I don't really love how it's been put together. The Titans, obviously, they got to bounce back from a game like that against Arizona. Of course, going back on the road on the West Coast, the 5.5 points, I feel like if it was 3.5, I'd probably lean Seattle's way, but 5.5, I'm taking the Titans with the extra 5.5 points. I like the Titans in this one. They got to give a little bit more. Derrick Henry's got to get going. Julio Jones got absolutely torn apart by Mike Vrabel. I expect him to have a bounce back game. I just think the Titans have a better week this week after getting ripped apart by one of the best young coaches there is in football. So give me the Titans plus 5.5.
I will say take the Seahawks giving 5.5. They're tough to win. It's their home game. We know the 12th man will be there and will be strong. They'll be loud. They haven't had that's going to be a raucous crowd. Tennessee could be staring at 0-2 straight in the face. It might be close, but I like the Seahawks giving 5.5. Let's go to Sunday Night Football. Pittsburgh Steelers fans are going to be watching this one for a lot of reasons. The Kansas City Chiefs go to the Baltimore Ravens at M&T Bank Stadium. Kansas City is giving 3.5 on the road. I thought it would be more, but it's not. Kansas City looked rather mundane at times against Cleveland in week one. Baltimore held their own against the Raiders and then just literally gave the game away. Michael, how do you think this one shakes out on Sunday Night Football?
I mean, the two teams in terrible injury luck right now are the Baltimore Ravens and the Oakland Raiders. Obviously, two of these matchups definitely going to be helping the Pittsburgh Steelers in terms of those rankings after this weekend. But the Raiders are beat up. Ronnie Staley is going to be out for multiple weeks. Villanueva is moving back to left tackle, someone I haven't even heard of before starting at right tackle. The running backs, the no-name running backs, the Ravens. Honestly, everything's just going in the wrong direction for Baltimore. They're my pick to be a team that shocks everyone by not making the playoffs this year before the injury problems. But the injuries are just running rampant over this team. I think Baltimore, the fact it's only 3.5 points is honestly laughable. That's the one game of the week where I feel like if you're someone who's an avid sports bettor, I'd put a lot of money down on Kansas City covering that spread and covering it by a very wide margin. Last point on this, too, is Lamar Jackson usually plays pretty poorly against the Kansas City Chiefs. I believe his career QBR against the Chiefs is something like 47. Not good.
No, not good at all. And so the Kansas City Chiefs giving – like this spread could obviously change since this has been recorded. But at the time of this being recorded, Kansas City is giving 3.5. Take Kansas City giving 3.5. If Baltimore keeps it close, they deserve it. But I don't think they do. And let's finish things up. Monday night, 8:15. Oh, this is a dud. Detroit Lions go to the Green Bay Packers. Detroit is getting 11 points here. Green Bay looked horrible. Jordan Love saw action that was that bad against the Saints in week one for the Packers. What do you think about this NFC North matchup?
The Packers aren't going to change their problems in 1 week. There is some deep-seated stuff going on there. I think this could be a really rough year for the Packers. And Detroit punched above their weight last weekend. Honestly, I think any Dan Campbell-led team plays better than what they show on paper. He showed that when he was interim guy in Miami. He got his guys playing really well for him when he was in New Orleans. I think he is just that coach that just gets his guys up for games. It's 11 points, and the Packers looked horrible. I think this NFC North, thankfully, that's the division the Steelers play this year. But honestly, I do not like any of these teams. But Detroit with 11 points, I thought they were going to be the team that loses every game this year, but that coaching staff has got them going. Give me Detroit with those plus 11 points.
Yeah, Detroit's not winning this game straight up, but I do think they keep it close enough that they cover. So I'll take the Detroit Lions getting 11. Let's go to the game everyone cares about, the Las Vegas Raiders going to Pittsburgh Steelers at Heinz Field, the Steelers' home opener. Right now, the line is that the Steelers are giving 5.5 points at home. I've seen that line stretch all the way to 6.5. Let's just stick with the 5.5 because that's what it is right now in front of me. Michael, how do you see this game playing out, and what's your score prediction?
All right, for this game specifically, we have to keep in mind the Oakland Raiders are a team that is very banged up after that game against the Baltimore Ravens. That game was on a Monday night, and they played 5 full quarters. That overtime pretty much went the entire distance. They are coming off an emotional victory. They're going across country. Honestly, all these factors are weighing so heavily against the Raiders going into an environment that's going to be juiced up. The first time the Steelers have had playing in front of fans in Heinz Field since 2019. Honestly, I really, really, really like the Steelers in this game. They also historically play very well in those home openers. I kind of foresee this. If you remember that game the Steelers played against the Cleveland Browns in their home opener, I believe it was 2017 when Antonio Brown punted the Browns punter in the head en route to, I think it was like a 35-3 victory. Honestly, I'm seeing something along those lines. My score prediction is the Steelers 31, the Raiders 10. They just pull ahead, and the Raiders can never catch up throughout this game. I really love the Steelers in this matchup. I think everything is just falling in their favor. So give me the Steelers. Give me those points. I really like the Steelers in this one.
I hope you're right. I really do. I definitely think this is going to be a closer contest. I talked about that on my Let's Ride podcast on Wednesday about how I think this is going to be a tough test for the Steelers in a lot of ways, Darren Waller being one of those, and something I talked about in the first segment of this podcast about what the Steelers need to do to win. It's going to have to take pressure on Derek Carr. The Steelers' offensive line is going to have to keep Ben upright, open some holes for Najee Harris. I think the Steelers, this is going to be a close game, but that 5.5 point spread, I think they do cover it. It's going to be within one score. I have the Steelers winning this game 27-20.
Wow.
Low scoring affair. Believe it or not, the over-under is 47, so that would be a push at my score of 27-20. But I like the Steelers to win, move to 2-0, and cover that 5.5 point spread. It's going to be fun. I definitely am looking forward to this contest. Michael, final thoughts on the game coming up that you want Steeler fans to know about?
Well, I think when the Steelers defense is on the field, people are going to watch those edge rushers regardless. That's just how the cameras are kind of trained. But TJ Watt on Alex Leatherwood, whoo boy, that is a matchup I'm excited to watch. Leatherwood is not good. in that pass pro, and he looked very bad against old man Justin Houston and the Baltimore Ravens. If the Raiders shift some help to the outside, look for Melvin Ingram and Alex Highsmith to have ridiculous games. I think the Steelers' front seven is going to have one of those games that we are talking about on Monday. The front seven, that's the group to watch, and I think they're going to have an outstanding game against the Las Vegas Raiders.
All right, man. Good stuff. I appreciate it as always. Make sure you check out Michael on Twitter at MichaelBeck56. You can check out his Live Mike podcast every Tuesday morning, as well as his Know Your Enemy podcast on Wednesdays. Michael, thanks for joining me. Good luck this weekend. We'll talk next Friday.
Thanks, Jeff. My pleasure as always.
All right, Pittsburgh Steelers fans, big thanks to Michael Beck for joining me as he always does every Friday. We went through all those games. I enjoy talking about the NFL. Getting our game picks out there is a lot of fun. Obviously, our predictions are different for the Steelers and Raiders, but hopefully they both come true and the Steelers win a game. All right, heart to heart. This is a story I put on my Twitter feed. If you follow me on Twitter, at jhartman, H-A-R-T-M-A-N _PIT, and it's about a good friend of mine. And I just want to share it. I feel like it deserves me to bring this up in on my podcast. So when I took over Behind the Steel Curtain, there were a lot of writers that exited when Neil Coulong left. I hadn't even been given an opportunity to show what I want to do and how I want to handle the position. And they just up and left. They're like, nope, don't want to be a part of this. They don't want to be a part of the new regime. They didn't even know what I was going to do, but they left. But there were a few writers that stayed, like Tony DeFeo stayed. He's still on the staff. Another one was a good friend of mine, Chris Carter. Chris Carter did film rooms. He was a young writer, just trying to get some experience. Wasn't even paid, I believe, when he first came on board. And quickly, I brought him into the paid staff realm, and we worked together on everything. Articles, projects, management of the site, as well as, I mean, hundreds of podcasts. And he's a great guy, became a great friend of mine. And it's just crazy how, with him and his Locked On podcast and going over to DK Pittsburgh Sports, he's created a name for himself, and I couldn't be happier for him. This is something I said to my students the other day. I said that too often people are afraid to say they're proud of somebody. I'm not sure why, but I'm super proud of Chris Carter. Chris Carter has made a name for himself, and I say that in the purest sense of the word. He has come from the bottom and has made it all the way to asking Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin questions during press conferences. That's something that Chris and I used to talk about on podcasts after we went off the air. We would stay on and talk on the phone, and he would say, man, I would just love to be able to ask these guys some questions. And Chris, I hear his voice, and I'm like, here he is. It kind of makes me feel like I made it too. You know, it's kind of like we always talked about this dream. One day we're going to do this. One day we're going to do that. He's actually living the dream. I can't be happier. There's not a nicer guy for it to happen to. So if you don't follow Chris Carter, do that. And honestly, his Locked On Steelers podcast is the only podcast outside of the BTSC podcast family that I would recommend to Steeler fans. The only one. So if you haven't checked it out, go check it out. I have him on the show again. I have to now. So, all right, folks, that's it. That's my heart-to-heart. Tell people you're proud of them if you know them. There's a good tip. And listen, we're going to be back on Sunday after the game. Myself, Dave Schofield, Brian Anthony Davis to talk about the Steelers game against the Raiders. Did they win? Did they lose? How did they look? Well, we're going to give out grades. We'll do all that on Sunday, so make sure you join us. And I'll be back on Monday with winners and losers. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you on Monday. Go Steelers.